Session number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 7.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 7. What kind of things were the German guards and passing troops saying to you, Mr. Weddle, during your march?
Well, as we were marching, the German troops going by, but the guards ourselves were just telling me that they'd soon be in England. We would be soon be home in England, but we'd be slaves, sort of thing. And most of my cameras taking photographs of us. But I never seen any brutality or anything like that, but most of them were just singing the German songs and Deutschland über alles sort of thing and roaming it in, you know. Actually, the lads were counteracting against that, like, you know, and putting your finger out one thing or another. But I think you were too busy finding food and wondering where we're going to sleep that night. You know, but about anything else, it was escaping, I think, was cutting the hell's chance to get away from when you seen all the troops. One or two may have done, but anybody going out the column stood a chance of being shot. Well, I mean, they weren't mugs, you know, and then they had the motorbikes and sidecars, which they were the villains of the piece. They would run you down there, there's no doubt about that. If you were sitting on the side of an embankment, they would run it up and roar the engine up and now and again, and he had a shot now and again, but just warning shot. I think it was happening any prisoner war column who were both any sides, but they were motorbikes, they were the worst.
Could you drop out of the column or to the
side
of the column?
Oh, if you wanted to toilet in a ward on a side, oh yeah, oh, there's no other. I mean, there was the gaps in between the guards, you know, they weren't close together, but they could see everything that was in the column, you know. And that's only where I had just had to boat anyway. But most of the lads had to do a particular work they were digging, you know, in the woods or a hedge, that's all. But you made sure you took a chance, but that used a bit of common sense. But most of the lads were getting a bit rough then. Well, now and again, what a bit of luck.
There was no indications of men falling out over stealing or anything like this?
No, there wasn't any pulling out of stealing. If the senior fatter was one, I'd pinch a chicken. And it must have just been on the lane and got the egg out. And put the egg in his pocket and just turned this motorbike come again and pulled up against them, looked at the chicken, took it off, went away. He says, oh, well, at least I didn't get my egg. So that was, you had to watch for that. But at that time, at the end of the day, whatever you had, you just cooked it.
But the troops themselves weren't falling out with each other, were they?
The lads would have an argument, some would have arguments, aye. With niggly things, naturally. Obvious, I think. But in fact, one place passing the village, and I got an old fashioned curtain which we used for a tent, which was a godsend for us three. We used to keep the dampness off for the night time, so at least we're comfortable. As possible. It was wanting the the rain belting down top with the curtain did help to protect the sewer. We had that for about till we got the train to go to the train. But lots of things happened during the march, trying to pinch chickens. So you put 50 lads with their jackets off looking for the garden, trying to pinch chicken when you got the farm hoses, you know. Well, funny now, but it could have been a bit serious then if the guards had been firing. If you heard a shot, and I see you just going to the column again, you know, that was your safeguard in the column. So that's where it went.
And where did the journey take you?
Oh, well, it went on to Channel Ports, and then it took me back up into the Ardennes again. Away, in fact, we passed over the same bridge at the Canal du Nord that we officers attacked to blow up with hand grenades. But it was a different scene then. French refugees had been caught on the top, some old men and women and children, about a dozen. And they must have been caught on a machine gun attack because they were all lying on the side of the road. So that must have happened after we retreated. And the marched over that bridge because we were seeing, supposed to blow that up, aren't we? So that's the way it went, the way they had come through the Ardennes. And that was getting a bit rough through there. Because farms were few and far between in the Ardennes. It's rough country, the part we were in, you know, and you're going past the forest, you know, but the road just one straight road, and the rising just seemed to meet the road, sort of thing, you know. And there was very little you could pinch to keep alive. There's no crops, because that's shrubland, you know, cattle land. We tried to milk a cow one day, Robert, and Eddie May, and a little cow, and it was in a holler.
Were you able to start up any relationships with any of the guards?
No. Well, I wasn't. No. Some would throw some cigarettes, not cigarette to the lads, but just if they were on their own, but I never, he got nothing. One might throw a bit of bread, things like that, but or some of the lads were bartering their wedding rings, engagement rings, watches. Very few watches, because the watches have been taken out them. And because my cousin, when the party, he swapped his engagement ring for a loaf of bread, which I told him was a fool. I said, we'll manage to do that loaf of bread, man. But his engagement ring went for a loaf of bread. So that's what the lads were doing. They were flogging the pullovers, army pullovers, for anything, that, just for little bits of bread, you know. As long as I could walk, tell me that.
So how long did the march last?
Right up to, well, it went by a train. It was in Belgium, because it went through Belgium, touching parts of Holland and all, on the borders, because it was a Dutch farmhouse where they got the jug of cream, and my rhubarb and cream that night. That had taken so long, but it wasn't so bad. And we came to this town and we were put on a train. Cattle trucks. 40 men of a cattle truck. And from all regiments. And we had a sergeant with the Cameron Highlanders in our truck. And he took over the in charge, actually, and just did what he told him. It was calm, like, and
did the Germans put someone in charge, or did the senior man?
No, he just automatically took over. In fact, rumour had it that they were going to kill all the corporals and sergeants, and some of the lads were taking their stripes off.
Was this just gossip or rumour throughout the column?
Well, it was just a rumour in the column, going along the column, but some of the lads did take their stripes off for the safeguard, you know. And they got officers trying to hide their badges for snipers, you know. These things happen, you know. And but a lot didn't. And if they were there, they'd seen a man seem to take charge wherever you were, you know. Automatic sort of thing. And and there were some good men amongst them, you know. So putting that truck in there, I think we got a bowl of soup. There was just barely room to sit down. The only way we could, one sat down, you sat between his legs. So there was always room or one or two to stand to get moving the little hole at the top where the door was if they wanted to. There was no other toilet, they didn't open the door or nothing, so they just had to do whatever they'd done in their boots, you know, and threw it out the window. That was the rough part, I think.
So that was the trick, to do it in your boot?
You'd have to, there was no other way, because no, the doors weren't open.
This was just to use the boot as a latrine?
Oh, aye, naturally. They couldn't do it anywhere else, you know, because the lads, there was no room to stand. They were just, you could all stand up, and if you wanted to sit down, you had to lie where, sit down between, you couldn't lie down, you just had to sit down, and then sit down with your back between their legs, and that's where you got room, and that allowed a little pathway through where the lads to get going the bad way with their stomachs and that, you know. And we only had let off the train once. Oh, we've been seen to be on for hours. And it stopped, just like a wood. Didn't seem to be nobody there, but a lot of ballast for repairing the railway, you know. We were totally ordered to get out, so we jumped out. It was quite a height because it was an embankment, you know. And some of the lads had just started to do their business at the edge of the wood, within sight of the German guards, of course. When we heard these voices of children and women, and all of a sudden we felt these stones coming up with the ballast. Where they came from, I do not know. But there was quite a lot of them, and they started pelting me with the ballast. Well, ballast is pretty hard stuff to be hit with, so the only thing we could do was run into the cattle tucks again and get the doors shut, which was unusual. There's a way to do that, but to get protection from them stones, because some of the lads were getting hit in the head and the face, you know. And they come out of the blue, and the guards weren't stopping them. So we just run back and jumped into the tucks. Short lads had to be helped up, you know. And we shut the doors for protection. And some of them were throwing there, trying to throw the stones through the top.
These were civilians?
Civilians, I don't know where they come from. They'd never seen any houses. They just started pelting the stones with. Of course, that was in Germany in 1940, you know. It was an entirely different Germany in them days, you know. We're just beginning to find that out. You know, and so then the lads were just pulling their trousers up, you know, and things like that, and we settled down into the tuck again. So some of the lads were still uncomfortable, you know. And then we started traveling again, seemed to be hours, nobody knew where they were going, you know, and you trying to look out the top, but they couldn't see where they were going. And the train stopped for quite a while in the station, and the Red Cross were there in the station, and what one cattle took at a time, what to get out and line up, and along the platform was Red Cross, German Red Cross people with bowls of soup. Beautiful. It was only liquid, but it was one of the best. And they give it a piercing, you know.
Was this the first meal you'd had since you'd gone to the trucks?
You know, the truck, it was lovely, really lovely. It was nice and warm, you know, tasty. And we've seen some of the lads lined up again, so we just went up in the queue. And me and Robert were getting separated from Eddie then. Eddie had been put in another truck. And so we got two pools of soup, which was very, very nice. But on an empty stomach, when we got back and the cattle took some of the lads, it affected the stomach, empty stomach, you know, and so they were pretty busy hiding the stuff out there. Okay, the top, when they started up, I was forced at my stomach. I was there. You know, I had violets torn in my stomach. I was looking like that. So, getting on then, went through Belgium, and then they opened the doors. And when it stopped, once before to let the lads leave their cells, and they left the doors open. And they started the train again. And, and we looked, we wondered where we were, and we could see the villages. The train seemed to be well up ahead, you know, and the mountains and the valleys and the distance. And one of the lads says, that's Luxembourg. I'm sure it's Luxembourg, can't have been any other place. And which it was at that particular time. And we stopped again, another station, and some of the lads got out to relieve ourselves, and when we got back in the truck again, they gave us two loaves of bread, German loaves, rye bread, a bit bigger than an English small loaf, you know. And between 40 men, it wasn't much. This was going into the second day then, you know. So the sergeant with the camera, and she says, anybody can is good at slicing slim, thin slices of bread? And my cousin says, aye, Jimmy can, meaning me, you know. He says, can you, son? I says, aye. I says, I'll have a go if you've got a knife. I says, I've got a spoon ground down with a sharp edge. I said, can I cut bread like that? And he gave us I don't know where, someone in the truck had an army knife. And we must have gotten it through the guards, you know, because you wouldn't search every so often. So they gave us a bit of room, and I started cutting there, trying to get 40 slices of bread with two loaves of bread. And when I cut, the sergeant and the corporal collected them till I was finished with the last slice of bread. And I says, I still remember apologising. I says, well, the crust had a bit thick, sergeant. He says, we've got 40 slices of bread. That's what we wanted. And he stood one side of the truck, and he gave my cousin two crusts of bread, which I was very thankful for, you know. The two crusts of bread, they were a bit thicker than the slices. You know, I like a crust. And so he went one man at a time, giving them a slice of bread, and they went forward one at a time to get round the room to make sure everybody got a slice of bread. Instead of some men might have put a hand and getting two, but made sure everybody had one slice of bread, and that's all we had in 2 days. So just imagine the state the lads were in, you know. We came to this big town the second day. We got out, lined up, and then marched up a hill, winding hill. I was saying, where's this place? And somebody has mentioned Trier, an old German town, Trier.
Have any idea what date this would be?
Well, been around to be about 11th, 12th of June, and the weather was pretty warm then, but atmosphere, you could sense the atmosphere in that place, big winding roads, and it seemed to wind up round a hill, you know. And we got the top, a lot of civilians watching them going up.
Were they shouting or showing
Not that particular time, no, and went to this camp. There was a German camp on the top, a big camp that right on top there, and it all seemed to be there, big long military camp, barbed wire around and everything, you know, and I just choked to get in, and there was a lot of huts there, but we were just in the open, and we just had built rough toilets, holes in the ground sort of thing, you know. Two posts to use, and somebody said, might get something to eat. We queued for something to eat, but it must have been about 2 hours at least, and we never got there, and there was none left. And the rumours went on, it was open again for soups. Barley soup, ersatz soup most of the time, dehydrated stuff, you know. But we never did get any soup and not come. We've got nothing and not come. Nothing. There all dear. And part of the next year now slept in the room. And, but I did see one nasty thing there. And I was just, I mean, there was some troops who had never seen a full had different uniform onto the German Wehrmacht army. You know, they are like dark black, which we became known as SS. We chant there, you there, know them. And they were a different kettle of fish then. They were real smart and they were real elite then. And never seen two of them with a Frenchman in the middle of them. Just said, and I thought, oh, it was horrible. And just getting to know what the Germans were really, if they could do that, they could do anything, you know. He had, must have had a touch of diarrhoea. And he must have been that loose. He'd done it somewhere in the room and annoyed the Germans because they were clean, you know. And they made him carry it through where everybody was sitting or standing right through the lot. Just and he had to carry it with both hands. And I felt really sorry for him. And I said, oh God, why that, you know? And the look on the French soldier's face must have been terrible. It must have been really lure, you know. But I said, oh, if that's what leg could, that's what was going to happen to him. And it wasn't very nice in that camp.
How long were you there?
Just a day in the night, and
where did you sleep?
Just in the open. In the open, and again, not sure what the old curtain, which was a great help with the three of us. And when you're tired, you'll sleep, even if you're wet. Not to, you just, nature takes you on you sleep. You, one eye open, sort of thing, you know, and but you're sleeping. Get used to it, and you always woke up at dawn, cold and miserable and stiff. And your shoes were getting a bit worn down then, stiff. Shoes were closing, all they were stinking. Yeah. We took them line up, counted, and took them march down the road. Of course, we'd lost Eddie then, we'd never seen any anymore. Robert and me were together. We put on the cattle trucks again. 40 men in a cattle truck. I was 40. And put on the train and away we went. And went quite a distance. And seemed to be on for hours and hours and hours. Keep on stopping, you know. And then a lot of trains going by, military trains. And and the guards were getting stricter as well. And
what way were they getting stricter?
Well, if you put a look up the top, to have a look out the top slant of a cattle truck, there's always a couple of openings with a small door, you know. Put a hand up there, they would, and if the team was standing still, they'd wrap it with their rifles, you know, if they cut your fingers, then they didn't want you to look out, you know. And well, the lads were in a bad way then. I mean, it was I must have lost about 2 stone. Really getting weak. As long as we're moving, you didn't feel it so much. It's when you rested. You just didn't want to get up, you know. And feeling a bit miserable then. The young lads can do if they put as hours as the will to live, sort of thing. Came to a place called Thorn.
What date was this?
Oh, where it was in the window? About June the 13th. That would be June the 13th. The weather was warm. And mid of March. But not all the column, just part of the column. Got 2 men together and marched them away. All marched for hours. And went to a town. Somebody says we call it Thorn, some say it's Torren, you know. I think it's on the borders of Poland. And we came to this must have been a Polish army camp, because it was you didn't see the camp. It was just like a mound of earth and a fence round, strong high fence, two big iron gates. Went down to the dip, and the dip was a camp, all concrete, all below ground. The whole camp was a below ground, all one big building, below ground. It was just a parapet around the top where they had the machine guns on. But you had to go down the hill to get in and out, but you couldn't get out, you know. And a bit of spag down at the front, and inside that building was toilets, showers, long corridors, and the car was just little boxes sticking out the wall. What was put your police arm was to put that gear on, just a little box to put their personal things on. That's where we were. And every window had a machine gun pointing into it from the Nazi. There was grids on the windows, of course, but you could see them. Till you woke up, you look, there was a machine gun there. Yeah, but at least I got a shower there.
That would be the first shower, was it?
That was the first shower we had. Nice warm shower. Not too warm, but it was warm enough. And we got a nice clean white shirt made with, I believe, paper mash and other things in it, but it was made with paper mash. Felt like it and all, but they were nice and clean and white. And we had all our hair shaved off, just off our head that time. Sailors, anybody with a beard on, was got that beard taken up as well. A lot of the was a couple of sailors there and they objected to it, but it had to be taken off. We understood why, like,
it was cleanliness.
Because it was cleanliness. It was there. Up to then, we hadn't didn't have any lice. Up to then, but when we were in that camp, for all our clean, the food, we were getting food, hot soups and beetroot, boiled beetroot. But most of the soups was dehydrated cabbage, dehydrated peas, and but we did get a little. Beetroot down again, boiled beetroot. And sometimes a loaf of bread between four, a loaf of bread between three men. So we used to try and measure it different ways to dish it out. If three men were mucking in, they got a loaf of bread and shared amongst us. So otherwise, separate, cut it up and dish it out as fair as possible. Right? And then I think it was on the third day. We got our photographs taken. We had another shower, but the lads were getting towards wind. The diarrhea, wind. Oh, horrible. It's terrible, just wind. And if you went to the toilet, if you took a hot, we're getting those, that's coffee. There's no plenty of that. And we were told to not make you go to the toilet. Must have cleaned all our kidneys out. And we were barley, I think. One. But all the wind, the lads would get queuing up to go to the toilet just for wind, not passing anything, just sheer wind, and they were frightened to come up the toilet, so you had to force them. Well, one of the sergeant went off, you know, he was troubled just the same way, you know, but I had to get the lads up for so long just to let somebody else on, and he joined the queue again, some of them, and that went on day after day, doesn't matter what, as soon as you had something to eat hot. Queuing up the toilet, in fact, some light in that suit and kick it in the queue just for the wind of their stomach. Terrible. It's hard to tell which was worse, diarrhea or wind.
Was it due to the long period of time without food?
Because the German medical officer came and asked if any lads were wounded, just a quick look at you, you know, and any complaints, sort of thing. And he said that would be just the wind on your stomach. And then we got some big officers came.
Germans.
Aye, and lined up on the outside and had to all go outside. They were lined up on the desks and in front of us. So that's it, we're trying to go, and he asked for a rank, a name, number, and what we did in civilian life. So when we heard the lads ask, being asked them questions, some of the lads were saying, I'm not going to tell them what I do, because some of them work in the army, especially the regulars. These officers, they work in army, army factories and all things like that, you see. And I said, what lad tell him? He says, just tell me you're a soldier. Like, I'm going to tell him. This is a lad from London, a Candleby clerk. And so I did, when I went to this officer, and he's a youngish officer. And he asked me my name, could speak good English, and better English than me, actually. Name, number and rank, and regiment. Well, he knew my regiment in any case. I think we were, as soon as you said your number, which then title they gave, I suppose, and you were not a down. He says, oh, DLI? No, Black Watch. well, it was no, they already knew what we were in. And